Hello and welcome to this special edition of A Shot in the Dark podcast, and our third one in the cycling series. As always, in the cycling series, I'm joined by fellow coach, trainer, and good friend, Troels Vinder. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Phil.
How are you?
Very good, very good. How are you?
Fantastic. Good. Happy to be here. Today, we are talking about the very large topic and very hotly debated topic in the cycling world of bike fitting. And we don't have time in one podcast to cover everything. So today's podcast is going to very much focus on the road bike. And it might even be we need a part two.
Yeah, we can maybe do one about the time trials bike fitting another time. And there will always also be one about triathlon.
Yes. So we have the three sort of main types of bike fitted. Let's start, Troels. What can you just quickly explain in general terms, very easy, what is a bike fit and why is it important?
Yeah, a bike fit is where you, the way you set your bike up for the rider, not to be confused with bike fit in the gym where you, when you go spinning, it's also called bike fit. But this is how you set the bike up, the saddle height, the seat, the handlebars, the levers, everything. So of course that's very individual, and that's very, very difficult for a lot of people to get the right bike fit.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's very difficult to get the right bike fit, and something that is very, very apparent is a bike fit is very dynamic. Now I've been working with you for 6 years on your position, and we're never happy with it. We're never completely satisfied with the bike fit. I think there's a lot of people who have that very perhaps old-fashioned way of seeing it. That's my saddle height. That's my handlebars. It doesn't matter what bike I've got. I ride like that and everything else. And it's just not the case. I mean, the you guys who are riding lots. I mean, even just a long ride in the mountains on Wednesday. Not enough stretching Wednesday night. Thursday, you're stiff. And you sit differently on the bike, and you can feel it, or if you've had some strength training or whatever, has a huge influence on your feeling and how you sit on the bike. So I think the first thing to say is it's very difficult to get a good position on the bike because it's very dynamic and it changes very often. I know you've got a lot of experience with that, Troels.
Yeah, and you always try to sit better on the bike, so the bike fit should change in some way. Of course, when you get if you get more stiff, or if you want to sit low and get more aerodynamic, you always want to push the body to sit in a better position, and that's also gonna change just by riding in a certain position. And there's a lot of factors in bike fitting, and maybe first of all we should look at what's important in a bike fit and what we need to get out of it, or what we can get out of it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I tend to divide bike fits into sort of two clear definitions. I have what I would call the safety bike fit, and what I would call the performance bike fit, and they are very, very different. Of course, there's those who are injured, or those who are starting out, or those who have just bought a new bike. They tend to put them in what I would call the safety bike fit category. And then I would say the guys who have been riding for a long time, and the faster guys and the more elite guys, I put them into the more performance based bike fit. And of course, even an elite guy injured, he's in the safety bike fit area. And in the safety bike fit area, there's lots of really, you know, if you're just buying a new bike, it's very important that the bike fits you. and that the bike has the right sizes. I think a good thing to start off with saying is biking in comparison to every other sport is you're actually have three contact points. You know, you're locked in, so to speak, with the feet, with the hips, and with the hands. And so there is actually never an excuse for an injury or an overuse injury. Of course, you crash a lot, and you have your crash injuries. But in terms of an overuse injury, it should never occur on a bike because we can control so many variables.
Yeah. So first thing really is to get the right frame size. And that's your starting point. So that's the most important thing. Then you can always change the stem length and put the saddle up and down. But if your frame is too big, it's not gonna handle good, and you maybe can't get low enough in the front with the stem. And if it's too small, then maybe you can't get your reach long enough. So you're gonna sit with a very long seat back And it's crucial for a good bike fit. It's hard for us here when a guy comes with a bike that's two sizes too big to make him a perfect bike fit, because you can't really do anything about the frame size. Or
no.
Then we need to tell him to get a new bike. Yeah. He just came from the store, so
yeah.
So that's the starting point. Yeah.
But I will say that now I have a good 7-8 years of bike fitting experience, and there are many guys that come in with their particular category of gentleman who is slightly older and needs some kind of acceptance to the good lady at home that they need a new bike. So there's many that come for a bike fit just to be told their bike is too big or too small. It actually fits them perfectly, but it's another story. No, but that's right, A-Trolls. The frame size is very important, and that's why we always would always help somebody buy a bike. We don't sell bikes for that reason, that we don't want to be biased in any way, but we would like to help people find the right bike, because it's a shame to go out and spend however many thousand pounds, euros, or whatever on a bike, and then it be completely wrong. We see it, unfortunately, often enough that people come with a dream bike and have saved up for a long time, and then haven't tried to tell them, you know, this isn't the right size for you. So, question for you, Trolls, as a cyclist, you're sitting right in between, and we know a 54 on one bike isn't a 54 on another bike, a 56 isn't the same. So, you're sitting just in between two sizes. Do you choose the one up or the one down? Where you know, because of course we can adjust the stem to if we're in for a couple of centimeters, we can always manage it. It's when it's 4, 5, 6 centimeters wrong, we have a big problem. Are you going for the slightly smaller bike, or are you going for the slightly larger bike? What's your personal opinion?
Yeah, it depends, actually. Normally you measure the size on the seat tube. I always look at the top tube, because that depends on how long your reach is. So if we're talking reach from the saddle, from the point of the saddle to the middle of your handlebar, and that's what's the most important for the length. After I look at the seat tube, then I look at the top tube, because that depends on how aerodynamic you can sit on the bike, how long you can get that handlebar down. So if I'm just in between, then I look at the head tube, see how high it is. If it's too high, then I choose the smaller size.
Yeah.
If it's an aggressive geometry, then I choose the 50, the bigger size.
The bigger size, yeah.
So,
I mean, I think that's a key point. I mean, there we're talking a little bit more on the performance side of bikes. But that's a really key point, is that the bike manufacturers in the last 5 years are having a bigger and bigger and bigger head tube.
Yeah.
And it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's becoming increasingly difficult for good cyclists to sit low enough in the front. I mean, I can remember fitting a Cervelo in 2012 and measuring the head tube to 14 centimetres, and was we were all completely shocked that you could make one that big, and now 14 centimeters is one of the smaller.
Yeah.
Now they're all the way up at 18, 19 centimeters.
Of course, the manifestos say is because of stiffness and aerodynamic and all this, but it's also because there's a bigger market for motionist cycling. So
yeah,
they don't make the bike so aggressive.
No, they don't. Yeah, and it is a problem, and I think just to touch on that, we're going to talk about it more later, the aerodynamic side of things. I think we often have to remember with a bike fit that, you know, 20% of the aerodynamic drag comes from the bike, and the 80% comes from the big guy on top of it. So a lot of the time, you know, with wheel sets and bikes, etc., people will argue, we make the bike in this way because it's more aerodynamic, the bike. Yeah. But more aerodynamics on a bike is maybe 1% or 2% of 20%, but 0.5% of 80% is a lot more of the man. So we would always favour a more aerodynamic man over a more aerodynamic bike.
For sure.
Which is something we'll come back to later on. Good, so we have the two aspects of bike fit, and we have the safety bike and we have the performance bike fit. And we, of course, we started with saying that the frame size is important, making sure we can't do anything. We can buy a new, you can usually buy a new saddle post. You can usually buy a new stem. You can buy a longer, smaller pedal arm, but you can't make the frame longer. So we want to try and get the frame as long as possible. Ultimately, if we're looking at going fast, we want to try and get the head tube as small as possible. So they've got their bike, they've bought their new bike, and then they're coming out to a bike fit. So let's start. We start with the hips. We always start with the hips, or we do here. And what we're looking for in the hips.
In the hips, we want them to be tilted forward as much as possible. Your hip, you sit on the saddle, so you also need to be comfortable in some way, and you need to be able to sit there for many hours.
Yeah.
But then saying comfortable is not fast normally. So you're not going to be 100% comfortable or the most comfortable.
Yeah.
You could sit on the bike, but... you need to be able to sit there for hours.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point that you mentioned there, is that I think a lot of what we're seeing in the bike fitting world is the bike fitting's being done by the shops, you know, and it's not being done by people who understand the bodies. So the good thing is, the really positive thing is, on the safety side of things, someone buying a new bike that can work with their local shop to be put in a safer position is a really positive thing. But it's always going to be that comfort, safety side of a bike fit. It's going to never be over in the performance side of things, because on the performance side of things, the bike fitter needs to be able to take a calculated risk, needs to be able to understand what stress do I put on the body to create more stress on the body, if you see what I mean, to produce more power or be more aerodynamic or both. And the good thing with cycling is the more aerodynamic we are and the more power we have, the faster we go. The problem with that is that creates, of course, more stress on the body. And that's always the process is asking yourselves, how much pressure can this body cope with? And the more pressure the body can cope with, the more aggressive you can have as a setup. But there's other things we can do.
When we talk about, or when I talk about the hips rotating forward, it's of course, when you get a bike fit, you want to be powerful and you maybe want to have a less risk-free of injury. Or actually, most of the people we see, they come up too late, because they come when they have an injury, and then they want to get a proper bike fit.
Yeah, exactly.
But the two things go really good hand in hand. And if you sit real on the saddle with your hips rotating forward, you will have a much better time. You have a much less risk of injury, and you will be more powerful at the same time. So
exactly, and that's actually the interesting thing with cycling, is the most powerful position we have for cycling is actually, especially from the hips down to the pedals. Of course, the most powerful position is the position that utilizes the most powerful muscles. And of course, if you're optimizing and utilizing the most powerful muscles, you're at least risk from injury, because the system is working properly. And I think that's where it's a really important important part, that you can do whatever you want to the bike. You can take the saddle up, you can take the saddle down, you can ride with the crank arm, the smaller, you can do whatever you want. But if the man on the bike isn't working efficiently and optimally, it doesn't matter what you do with the bike, because you can't change a man that's not working properly. And if you've got muscle groups and you've got muscular imbalances from left to right, front to back, or both, if you have a right leg that is in total dominance, or a left leg in total dominance, or you have a left glute that doesn't work, or you have just a general muscle imbalance, you can play with the bike all day long, and you're never actually going to have an effect on the rider. And so we've had enormous success with actually going a little bit away from the bike and talking to the riders about, how is it you would like to sit on the bike? What's optimal for your race coming up? What races do you have, and how do you need to perform best? So a classic example is that when is a time trial versus a... Everyone can accept the difference between a time trial and a road bike.
Yeah.
Well, I have a time trial I want to be good at. Yeah, okay, we accept you have a different position, but if you're racing in a really fast, sidewind, small Danish race, for example, versus we're going down to France, and we're going to take Le Mans this year, they're two completely different bike fits, and two completely different positions we need to find for the riders.
Yeah.
And so they're having the muscles are the same, having the muscles being able to activate and work is far more important than how we use our Allen keys and fit the bike and take the saddles and the positions there. So we've had huge success with saying to the rider, okay, what are you riding this year? What are you doing? And how is your bike best suited to that position? What position would be best? Find some. We're very good at sort of going online and finding some rider positions and looking at how the good guys or the fast guys are riding and what they're getting out of the pedals, and then working with the body to try and find that position, the most optimal position for that person, the most risk-free position.
Yeah, and that's also maybe where the safety and the speed, the two different groups that are coming into it, because in the what do you call the groups,
safety and performance,
speed or performance.
Yeah.
So on the safety side, you don't want to put the rider in such an aggressive position, because obviously you want to be a bit more safe, and you want to be safe with injury, but also with handling the bike. And if you're not used to sitting really low and handling your bike in some fast positions, then that's better. And in the speed group, you want to be aerodynamic and powerful at the same time, and really tucked in. So
And I think that's, the classic, the good example I've often given with making that dynamic bike fit process, and always trying to, you're always trying to ride with more watts, or you're always trying to ride faster or do more. You should also always be trying to sit better. And that's something that's often forgotten, is sort of, I set my bike, saddle height's that, and I keep it there. And one classic example is that of people who have back pain. on the bike, where the back hurts on the bike. And in all literature, in all research, in if we just don't talk about biking for a second, in all the you say disc prolapses, in all low back symptoms, you won't find a physiotherapist or a doctor in the world that will say to you exercise is bad. In pretty much every kind of back issue, the best thing you can do is not smash your back, but have some kind of stress and some kind of training, even if it's just walking through your back. So with the classic you hear with bike riders is, my lower back hurts when I'm riding, so I took the handlebars up. So you take the handlebars up a little bit, so the musculature in the back works less, it gets weaker, the pain gets worse, so then you take the handlebars up a little bit more, and you keep just going the other way, and that's fitting, can you say, that's fitting the bike to the man,
yeah.
And it's creating his problem and getting him better at being worse, where we found completely opposite that, as long as it's under control and someone who, the bike fitter, has an understanding of the pathology of the person's back, we've actually had huge success in terms of just easy, very gently, 2-3 millimeters at a time, just taking the handlebars a little bit down for someone who has back pain, which is counterintuitive to a lot of people listening. But then the creating a little bit more stress on the lower back, so the musculature should work and have to train. Of course, there'll be some strength training that comes and maybe some flexibility training that comes with that. But putting the lower back under a little bit more stress, the musculature needs to get stronger. And suddenly they come back, my back feels a little bit better. Okay, let me take that a little bit more. And that's that dynamic process. And I know that's on the safety side.
Yeah.
But it's exactly the same on the performance side. You should always be thinking, how can I have less muscular imbalances? How can I stretch, strength train, and do things with my body so that I can set my bike up in a more aggressive position to ride faster, to produce more power and to sit more aerodynamically.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it, and I don't think a lot of bike fitters know that or is educated about that, because it's normally just a 2 or 3 day course.
Yeah.
So of course you can't learn everything in 3 days. No, so.
Absolutely.
No. But. Then we talked a little bit about the hips. Then there is the feet. It's the second touching point.
Yeah.
And there we first of all have the shoe and some pedals and some cleats. So
yeah.
So what do we look at there?
Yeah. Again, there. I mean, we've got that really nice forward rotated hip position, which has probably come about some stretching and some strength training and such, and so then we've got, yeah, as you say, the feet there, and here we're looking at trying to get as much power out of our pressure in the pedals as possible. And it's important to say cycling is very under researched. Cycling is very opinion based, and cycling has borrowed a lot of literature from a lot of other sports.
Yeah.
So a lot of the injury prevention literature we have comes from running, unfortunately. And so a lot of bike fitting systems have transferred what is dangerous in running over to bikes, and come up with some terrible examples, just to say as bluntly as I can, have come up with some shocking inventions.
Yeah.
And one of them is the knee position. The feet, the hip position, of course, you're locked in and you're cycling, so the hips are the hips, but you can adjust where the knee is by where the foot is. And a knee that travels forwards, and importantly over the toe. In the old days, you know, you'd always have your knee needs to stay behind the toe. And I mean, I see some terrible, terrible seat post positions where people are taking the saddles all the way to the back,
yeah,
missing enormous amounts of power, putting loads of pressure on the lower back just to have a knee that doesn't cross the toe. The literature in the running and the sports conditioning world and pretty much in every sport is saying that the knee coming over the toe is the most powerful, the most injury preventative, the most successful position for the knee. So the important thing is when you can get that a monkey off your back and say the knee can come over the toe. And I agree, what we're looking for is we're looking for just a slight angle in towards the seat post. The stem post. And we potentially want to avoid that the knees are crossing over the top tube, but just coming in just a little bit short of the top tube, that angle with the right cleat position is the most powerful and the most optimal. The big tangent or the big mess the cycling world is coming into is we're measuring people's feet insoles. Are coming in and they're being measured in static motion. So people are laying down or sitting down and measuring their feet. And then they're having these insoles made based on nothing to do with their cycling, only to do with their static foot position when they sit down. And so they're having these huge supports made on the inside, and most of them, again, unfortunately, are pronation based. So they're taking the knee from the slightly inward position and pushing it outwards.
Yeah.
Not only are they losing loads of power, but we're seeing masses of different knee injuries because of these insoles and these wedges that are starting to come into the shoes. A foot that pronates and comes down and falls down in a shoe, of course, not out of control. But I mean, in running, when you land, you have that 7-8 times your body weight throwing your knee inwards. You simply don't have that on the bike. There is not a necessity to have that support inside. Of course, the foot shouldn't be out of control in the system, but the foot should be, and the knee should be allowed to glide slightly in to get the activation of the glutes in the pedal stroke. And you know, a lot of the injuries we're solving just by taking the wedges away. And we also see it in the power output that when you allow the knee to come slightly inwards, the watts go up almost instantly. Your experience with that?
Yeah, I've tried it myself, and I feel it immediately when I take the wedges out and the support, and I get. Feel like a new rider. I got a lot more power on the bike. And with the knee going inwards, it's a little bit like if you also listen to the podcast you did on squatting, it's exactly the same principle there. Jousie is talking about and also about being more powerful. He also wants to squat.
Yeah,
with the knees pointing inwards and the toes pointing straight, so it's the same.
Yeah. So when we're looking at the cleat position, we're looking at having a foot that's rotated ever so slightly inwards, with a good knee position that follows the hip, and a good power position from there. But again, the problem is we can't just ask people now listening to just rotate their feet inwards, because we don't know how flexible they are.
No.
We don't know, and the problem we use in our system is you know, we can look at the body and we can measure how tight a muscle group is, we can see how weak or how strong a muscle group is, and then we can say based on that they can have their the cleats in this most powerful position. And it's like any sport. We know golf, we know what the most powerful swing is. In baseball, we know what the most powerful way to throw a baseball is. In cycling, we also know what the most powerful way to sit is, and it should be every cyclist's goal to sit in that forward rotated, glutes activated, toes slightly in, handlebars all the way down position for the aerodynamics and the power. It's not possible for everybody. The problem with that is it's nothing to do with the bike, it's the person. We know what's the most powerful. We know, you know, wind dynamics, they don't change. The lower we get, the better the wind is, you know. And
that's why there is not, you cannot use like just only one system, because it's individual to every people's body. Like, you cannot say this is the right angle and put some dots on you, and then the computer tells you you need to sit in this angle with this saddle height.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, one of the key issues with computer systems in that respect is that they don't measure the rotational element. If I can be a little bit technical for 2 seconds, is that the body can move in those three directions. You know, we can move side to side and we can rotate and we can go forward and back. And we can measure, if we just look at someone on a bike from the side, you can see the knee angle. But that's one of the, you know, it's not one, it's not, don't misunderstand me, it's not important, no. But it's one of the least important angles, is the knee angle. The most important thing is how much does the bone under your leg, the tibia, how much does that rotate inwards versus the big bone on the top of your leg, the femur, how much does that rotate? And that rotation inwards or outwards is everything with the stress and how the knee looks after 20 years of cycling. The height of the saddle, yeah, okay. It's one of the least important things in that respect, or that knee angle there. And there's no system measures that. No system measures the rotational forces through the knee. They measure how it goes from side to side, which is important. But again, it's not as important as the rotation of the bones. And that travels all the way up through the body, into the back. And in the old days, we would say we want to see a completely steel hips, and just the legs moving. And now if you think about the really good guys like Cancelar, and they have that lovely three-dimensional hip movement where it sort of flows from side to side, and it's sort of almost a wave pattern going from one side to the other side down the legs. And that's what we want to see. We want to see that. We don't want to see an upper body or if you listen to our core stability podcast there, we talk a lot about over core training and having a completely fixed and locked core, and how that has a really negative effect on a lot of sports. Yeah. Here we want to see that the hips are moving from side to side and around, and we want to see that force being dissipated further up the back. We want to see it being stopped around the just before the shoulder blades rather than being stopped in the hip, and then see that nice pattern moving.
Yeah, a good example is Cancelara, but I also think Sagan has a really rotated hip position on the bike.
Yes, he does.
So,
I mean, but we can test it, and we're testing 30 to 40 watts difference with a rotated hips forward. That's not insignificant. And really, yes, of course, the way you set the bike up is very important, but the way you sit on the bike and the way you control your own body is far more important. I hope that's the new wave of bike fitting that's coming now, is that we can start to be smart enough to say, like the golf swing, like I say, let's find the most powerful position. Let's see how we have the most power in the pedal. And you can use that in squatting or jumping or rotational exercises like golf. You can say, right, okay, how do we get the most power out of our body, and then how can we transfer that over to cycling, and then we can start getting bodies that are ready to cope with setting it up and have some success from that.
Maybe we should talk a little bit about the handlebars,
how
you should set that up. And for me, the handlebars is a lot about steering and about being comfortable. So I want to have my levers in a comfortable position for my
wrists.
So I can sit there for a long time. And and when I bend my elbows, I'm really low and tucked in. And of course, the lower my bar is, the more aerodynamic I am. But then a lot of people say, yeah, but then you just stretch your arms. Yeah, if I'm sitting in the middle of the pack and I'm just cruising along, of course, then I'm stretching my arm. But then it's not important to be aerodynamic.
No, exactly.
It's in the final, the last 50Ks, and I can tell you there for sure I'm not stretching my arms. So, and then I'm more aerodynamic.
Stretching your lungs, but yeah.
Because a lot of people are making the mistake, we raise your handlebars, but then you bend your arms more, then you're more aerodynamic if you sit higher with your handlebars. But when my handlebar is at the lowest point and my arms are bent, then of course, then I'm more aerodynamic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than the other person. So. Yeah, again, the reach the reach of different handlebars are also important. There you can fine tune the position a little bit. You get up to, I think, 1.5 centimeter different reach on different handlebars. So
yeah.
That's important to check that out and see what's best for you and your position. You're riding on a certain frame brand, then maybe it's a way of using, like we talked before, if you're in the middle of a range of 56 or 54 like I am, then maybe I'll choose the 54 if I know I can get a reach on my handlebar that's 1 centimeter longer. So it can make a big difference, your handlebar and your type.
I think that's really important. There is this, again, it's I listen a lot to the cyclist in front of me in terms of the handlebars, and it's a lot to do with the handling of the bike versus, because of course, yep, okay, you're more aerodynamic, but if you're losing 4 meters every swing, every time you go around a corner because you can't keep up there, then we have to discuss, is that the right position? That should you be so low on the handlebars? I think with the pedals and the saddle height, I'm listening, but I'm also knowing what's most optimal. But there is that feeling with the handlebars. There's that sense that I'm sitting right and that I'm comfortable. And it's also there where, you know, the two places where you get the pain, if you like, from being there too long, is going to be from sitting on the saddle and then from the holding the handlebars. And so there is a really important that we have that blend between aerodynamics and comfort. And again, like you said, listening to what's best and testing it and having a dynamic bike fitting process where they go out and they take some trips and ride on it and fine tune it and go out on the road and film them on the road and see how they're doing and see how they take the swings and making sure that process is right rather than just always going after what's the most aerodynamic maybe. Good. For me, the sort of the key elements are you've got, are you going for a bike fit, for a safety bike fit or an injury, or are you going for performance based? And we sort of covered both things in that. You've got the sort of hips to handlebar aerodynamics, and then you've got the sort of hips to feet, which is the power. And that's a sort of general introduction to bike fitting. I think next podcast we do on bike fitting will be based around the time trial bike, and there we'll also talk a little bit about pedal arm length. And coming into different positions, and there we're talking about a little bit, if you're good enough cyclist that you're over on a time trial bike, will be very much the performance based thing. Then we also have a podcast which will be geared towards the triathletes, and how we set up a triathlon bike for those guys. And then we will also do a bike fitting podcast on injuries, where we'll just talk about some common injuries on the bike and some basic tips of what people could just do if they have a pain in this position, pain in that position, things they could go away and do for themselves. We hope you enjoyed part one of bike fitting. Keep it safe out there, guys.